You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of November 4th, 2014, and it's right this way to audio goodness.
This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Alboy.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It's a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And first order of business,
we did it.
We conquered the 300. We're dining in hell right now.
Take that, Spearman.
Yeah. We did 300 episodes. And we didn't make a big deal out of it, mainly because we were busy and lazy.
Yes. This is episode 301. That's right. Actually probably like 320-something.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of like special episodes, event episodes.
Non-numbered episodes, yeah.
But regardless, we wanted to thank everyone for listening to all of these 300 episodes of silliness.
For those of you who have,
yeah,
hats off to you, you brave, brave soldiers.
My condolences. and anyway, just, yeah, thanks for always listening. Thanks for the comments, emails, suggestions, all that stuff.
Yeah, thanks for the reviews on iTunes and Stitcher.
Yep, it's always nice to get all of those things.
Yeah.
It's still pretty strange to think about, like, people listening to this.
Uh-huh.
because you don't really see anyone that often.
I mean, I like to imagine people, though. Like, I really hope... my ideal, whenever we record audio, is that people are listening to this in the bathtub.
Emmett Smith.
It's the most romantic. It's the most romantic experience.
But hopefully, like, the computer or the phone isn't too close to the...
Yeah.
To the bathtub, because I don't want to be like someone's, you know, the last thing they hear in the world.
Fourth time this week. I don't know. I'd be okay with that.
As they fade off into existence.
Good night, sweet prince.
You guys don't know shit about destiny.
Hard truths.
Goodbye. In any case, every week we pick either a topic or a game or some sort of piece of news, and we dedicate an entire episode to exploring it in depth. And this week, we're going to do that with the concept of the mini-map, something that, again, you know, we may have talked about every once in a while. I have the sneaking suspicion that I've either talked or written about it.
No, we've had this exact conversation before. Time is a flat circle that appears on the bottom right-hand corner of your screen.
There's always a lighthouse, but look that from above, it's just a flat circle.
It's just a little pin, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, this came up off of a recent... Eurogamer article where it was called Death to the Minimap. It was written by Martin Robinson, and he went in, and we'll talk about it a little bit, but he went in and talked, he wrote a bit about why perhaps it's time to leave the minimap behind, and so we wanted to pick that up and talk about some of the minimaps we have enjoyed or not enjoyed, and maybe what is the future of our favorite little navigational device.
Yeah, and Martin Robinson kicks it off by talking about racing games. I feel like that's the natural place to start, right?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know the perfect history of the minimap, but is the first minimap to appear in games, was that from a racing game, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, The Legend of Zelda had a minimap.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And that came out... When did Zelda come out? 85?
1902!
Yeah, or maybe 86.
Mm-hmm.
And so it had a mini-map, but it wasn't very detailed. You could just tell kind of what quadrant of the, you know, world you were in.
Yeah.
But I definitely think racing games, I mean, seeing those turns and everything... I mean, that's probably one of the more practical and popular mini-map implementations.
And it seems like that's where you need the mini-map the most, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you think about what the mini-map is for, and in this case, Martin Robinson is saying it's not for a whole lot. It's to give you sort of predictive tool to figure out how you want to navigate your environment. Mm-hmm. But what he's suggesting is that that's actually distracting you from actually learning the environment, from enjoying the environment, all of that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in a racing game, what you're really kind of trying to abstract with the minimap in the first place is knowledge about where you're driving at, right?
So you don't drive off a turn.
And the ability, like, look, let's be perfectly honest, right? When you're driving in the real world, you're probably going, what, 50 miles an hour, 60 if you're on the freeway, 30, 15 if you're in a school zone, who knows, right?
15 if you're in the Bay Area freeways because you are stuck.
Yeah, 0 miles per hour if you're in LA. The point being... you have way more time to read a curve ahead of time, to notice all the traffic signs, all that good stuff. When you're playing GTA 5, you're thinking about who you're going to run over next. You're trying to shoot out your rearview window. You're going like 180. You know, there's all sorts of the inability to read the environment quickly and to navigate the environment efficiently is not easy for a player to do, considering how complex it all is. So the minimap is a way to just ease off the brake a little bit, right? To give you the tools that you need to plan ahead as though you are familiar with the environment you are actually navigating when you're not.
I think in real Formula One racing, they have
a GPS device.
Well, no, but they have someone on the radio telling the driver,
"Oh yeah,
you're coming up to turn number 3. Remember, that's the 180. Like after that will be turn number 4. It's left, right. You know, like that sort of thing."
I watched this great YouTube video a while back of this guy in the passenger seat of one of the races yelling at the guy, "Stay on the road, Jimmy. Stay on the road." It was brilliant.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, it's also part of the rule of the sport. Like, you know, you can't have it, but they are doing it for the exact reason why we would use a minimap in a game, which is to focus on the tactical driving of, like, they're focusing on the positioning rather than the terrain.
Right.
But the terrain it's a crutch to make sure that you don't have to necessarily get, you know, taken by surprise or whatever by a turn. You have to worry about, are you in front of this person or is this person drafting or
Exactly. Yeah. Now let's be super critical here for a minute, right? When we talk about a racing game, we're not here for a leisurely stroll, man. Like, you are not driving through wine country here. Like, you have a fucking race to win.
I always abide by the speed limits in GTA. I just...
just all the stoplights.
I wish I could use the Kinect to do the actual arm signals, like, you know, right arm,
oh, yeah, that'd
up,
be great.
Right angle for right turn, left, yeah.
I mean, I get the desire to want to stop and take a look at the sights, and that is where the option to remove the minimap is really nice. Because when you want those majestic shots of, like...
Yeah.
I've parked my Audi on the you know, the mountaintop, and now the sun is setting over the Pacific coastline. Yeah. Like, of course you want to take those gorgeous shots.
Yeah.
But for the minute-to-minute driving, you kind of need the mini-map to actually understand where you're going.
Do you think there's a skill argument to be made? Like, you shouldn't be good at the course for the first time because, you know, you got to learn those turns and then go back in, and, you know, you're kind of constructing your own mental minimap rather than, you know, doing it from day one.
Well, I think that's true anyway, right? Like, when you're looking at the minimap in a racing game, your eyes are not on your vehicle, the vehicles around you, the environment per se. Like, I don't know about you, but there have been times when the minimap, and this is true for a lot of games with minimaps, is they're really not as helpful as you think they'll be. It's good to get a glance over to give you a general trend of what's coming up.
Yeah.
But there have been games when it doesn't express elevation very well, and all of a sudden you crash into a wall because you thought the road kept moving.
Yeah.
You know, all sorts of things happen. So to some extent you're going to be doing that anyway. I don't know of a game where you really tend to be playing on the minimap itself, unless it's really detailed. I think sometimes in GTA you'll do that, especially when you're doing one of the chase missions and you're trying to, like, cut someone off ahead. But, you know, I don't find myself relying super heavily on the minimap unless it's to find an objective.
When they first released Mario Kart 8, the map was only on the Wii U gamepad. And then in a subsequent patch, they patched in the option to
put it on the screen.
Yeah, put it on the screen.
Is that everyone. So your eyes don't go as far down?
I don't know. I mean, like, it's an interesting like design and skill question, right? Like, is the point of the mini map, like, sure, you can get a little extra hint about when the next turn is, but you have to take your eyes off the screen briefly in order to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I like that idea, right? Yeah. That's similar to the way that you have to look at a map in, like, Far Cry 2 or something, right? You have to look at it while you're driving. It's not, you're not going to pop up in a menu. You can do that in the subsequent Far Cries, right? There's, like, a mini map in Far Cry 3 and Far Cry 4.
I forget Far Cry 3. I know, well, I mean, kind of shifting to one of the solutions for the minimap, like in Far Cry 3, you could tag enemies. So if you're looking at them through a rifle or binoculars, you will put a icon above their heads. And then even if you're not in that weapon, that icon will be floating around on your regular UI. And so part of what you would use a minimap for in a combat-oriented game is knowing the positioning of your enemies. And so that solves that problem.
Yeah, I like that solution, especially because it encourages you to get a like a hilltop vantage point. Yeah. So you're already sort of mapping out the arena ahead of time. Even though you're tagging people with your binoculars, you're also looking at, okay, well, where's that big-ass tiger I can let out of the cage? Where's the alarm so I can go around that direction? You start mapping out how you're going to find the enemies and attack from whatever direction you're choosing to attack.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the things, and actually this was brought up in the article. Martin mentioned MGS Ground Zeroes, which, in the sense Metal Gear Solid, like, that little heads-up display map in stealth games has been, like, a convention. Like, MGS was, set that standard up, and then in Ground Zeroes, it's gone. Yeah. And they moved towards a, Far Cry 3 style, like, painting an enemy and then being able to see it. I think there's actually even an achievement for tagging every single enemy and then...
In Ground Zeroes.
Yeah, in Ground Zeroes, and you can, like, see them all. Because, like, you can tell where they are because sometimes their elevation will get a bit higher and they'll move faster and they're sitting in a truck.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you see something, like, zoom around. Like, you can't tag the truck, but you can tag the dude.
Inside
the
truck.
Yeah, so you see him and he's in there. And I think, like, especially, like, in Metal Gear Solid 1, you could pretty effectively play it from that top-down map angle.
Yeah.
And I think that was just, they tried to address it multiple times throughout the series, and it got more and more difficult. And so I think that way of just focusing on tagging rather than the mini-map was a nice change of pace.
Yeah, and I get the sense, though, that Ground Zeroes does it because now we have the tools to find alternatives, right?
Yeah.
Like, the lighting is so good in Ground Zeroes that it's relatively easy to notice movement, right? In a way that maybe in some old-school rendering, it wasn't as easy to see where your enemies were at, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Again, the mini-map in the case of a stealth game is just abstracting your ability to pick up on noise and stuff, whereas in, maybe modern games... where the visuals are a little bit better to pick up the visual cues, then you don't need that as much. Or say in the case of like Alien Isolation, you want to feel as though you don't know where your enemies are at. So you have this sort of really shitty motion detector instead of a genuine minimap.
I think that also brings back like the skill component to it, because the Alien Isolation is like, you need to know the general area, but it doesn't really give you topography. Like, do you, when you are playing a game, do you care about...
like, how tall the grass is?
Yeah, I mean, well, like, I was making two, like, extreme comparisons. Like, the original GoldenEye on the N64, like, and I think actually Halo is similar to this. The mini-map is just a circle, and people's relative distances are marked, but not their elevation.
Yeah.
And so you, or, and also not whether they're in a building or not.
Yes.
And,
yeah, I think that's true of Destiny as well, because sometimes you'll see a reading and they're like below the ground in a bunker or something.
Yeah. And you can't tell not only below or above, but like they could be in a cave or something, right? Like,
sure.
I don't know.
As you know, as people
getting
are.
Loot. Wait, do your friends show up on the minimap in Destiny?
Yeah, they're like white little markers.
Okay, so it distinguishes.
If you're in your group, yeah.
Oh, but if you, I can't remember, if you run across somebody organically, do they come up on the map if you're close enough to them or something?
I don't know. I don't play enough competitive multiplayer to really know or notice. I mean,
but just if you're just wandering around in the world, like, will it place other people on the map for you?
Yeah, I think so, temporarily. But I mean, the idea of the Halo maps in general, even in the past, were... they provided you with insight about where people were relative to your own position, but it was never very clear.
Yeah.
And the act of moving your eye away from the screen to the minimap, I think, was part of the play experience. Like, you can't really play by just focusing on your minimap, but what you can do is try to lay a trap. And then they played with a minimap, right? Like, there's really smart use of it in the Halo games. If you stopped moving, for example, if you chose to walk really slowly, you might fade from the minimap. What is it? Halo Reach. There's the ability to find one of the power-ups that cause everyone nearby to have a bunch of icons appear on their minimap. Oh, and all of a sudden, their minimap is flooded with little icons.
I do remember that.
That's a really clever idea. It doesn't disable their minimap. It just makes it confusing.
Yeah.
So they could try to read it. They could try it not. I mean, there's all sorts of clever ways to do it, right? Or if you turned on active stealth, maybe the minimap disappears. You do not appear on other people's minimaps, right? Mm-hmm. So it takes the assumption that the minimap is the safe, reliable tool and then undermines it in a cool and clever way. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, I like that. And I think... Now that you mentioned that, I feel like that's actually been pretty influential.
Sure.
Like, even, like, I've still been playing through Titanfall, and it actually, the map in Titanfall is pretty intricate. Like, it shows buildings, it shows relative elevation, like, if someone's below or above you.
Yeah, mailing address, IP address.
No wonder people are sniping me so hard. If you fire, you appear on the map.
They're doxing you, I guess.
They're doxing me with their no scopes. If you shoot your gun, you appear.
But you can also have silenced weapons, right?
Correct.
To play into that.
Yeah, you can do that. But there's also then kind of countermeasures of, like, some burn cards just expose everyone on the map.
Yeah.
Or some burn cards expose everyone on the map every 10 seconds.
And aren't some of the burn cards, like, they show you where all the little guys are? The underlings?
That's just one of the, loadout. Like, you can pick an item that shows you where all the...
like robots?
Yeah, where all those robots are. Well, actually, grunts. Also, sidebar, Titanfall, it's somewhat disturbing that the grunts are, like, less valuable than the robots.
Yeah.
So that's like depressing. Yeah, so the humans are like the normal creeps and the specters are the super creeps.
Well, they invested a lot of money in those robots, Scott.
Each robot is worth like there's some actuary like counting it up. Okay, a human life is worth approximately 700,000 galactic credits. These specters are worth 1.2.
Yeah,
we got to hold them back.
We really need to, yeah. These guys are fodder. I mean, we could just breed more.
Anyway,
maybe they're clones.
They could be clones. They could be like Star Wars, like retconned.
They're stormtroopers.
Like, that's true, right? Like they retconned that into
what? That they're clones?
Yeah.
Well, I presume. Yeah. I mean, yes and no.
Did they not retcon it?
Well, I mean, I think in the world of post Episode 3 Star Wars, after Order 66 is executed, the number of troops that you need to maintain a solid lead of your empire is greater than the number of clones that they had, and they lost the cloning facilities, right?
Because I'm pretty sure Han Solo was. At least part of, I don't know if he was a soldier, but he worked in the Empire for a while.
I presume they recruited more stormtroopers. Yeah. It's just that the clones, they ran out of clones. So those were probably the elite stormtroopers.
Okay.
The one that created the legend of, you know, oh, the stormtroopers are great shots, when really they're not.
Okay. And now they're like just normal.
Well, yeah, I mean, surely if you're going to be managing an empire of that size.
Yeah.
Not to get into the
the logistics of the Galactic Empire.
You know, as it were. They have mini-maps.
They probably do have mini-maps, but they rely on them too much because they can't hit Luke worth shit. Well, like, that's the thing that bugs me about, like, sometimes it bugs me about the Titanfall things is, you know, if people are above or below you. Like, I understand Titanfall is a much more vertical game than most, so I can understand, I can concede the need for something like
for
that.
For verticality readings or whatever.
Whereas, like, in, you know, the original GoldenEye or Halo, like, things are just much more general. And it's like, we'll give you a sense of where things are, but we don't necessarily want to spell it out for you because you should be focusing on the environment.
Yeah, and again, I think too often the use of a minimap is just a crutch for a lack of readability in the environment in other ways.
Yeah.
Like, oh, is everything green and brown? Maybe you should think about that. Right? Yeah. Or, I mean, like, somebody mentions in the comments, and I think this is accurate, but if we were to get rid of the minimap in Shadow of Mordor, it'd be almost impossible to read where you're going.
Yeah.
And I understand it's Mordor. There's certain limitations. It's not known as, like, a lush garden of reds and, you know, verdant wildlife and
vacation
stuff.
In Mordor.
Vacation in Wonderland.
Yeah.
There's a reason the Eye of Sauron chose this as his home.
Yeah.
You know, you need a way to distinguish between the greens and the browns in that case. Or, you know, we're just playing Evolve today, and that environment is really dark and really hard to read. So the minimap is really useful.
Yeah.
You know, my question is, if we were to get rid of the minimap entirely on some of these games to increase the sense of quote-unquote immersion, are we not then just creating more opportunities for distracting things in the environment? Because I feel like the natural outcome of not having a minimap is having all of these diegetic elements in the game.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There have been racing games where the arrow or, like, a visual curve will appear on the ground mm-hmm. to show you you've got to take a sharp turn.
Yeah.
Or all of a sudden, all of the enemies have little icons above their head, and yeah. you're basically living in fucking Simville, where everyone has, like, an icon above them denoting some aspect of who they are and where they're from. And
The Sims Modern Warfare.
Yeah, like, it, I mean, to some extent, what is more immersive, right? Having a map on the lower right screen...
Yeah.
Or bringing a map up or pausing the game to look at the map, right? All of that stuff is kind of counterintuitive too, unless what you really want is just complete removal of all both in-game and yeah. and map elements, right?
The in Saints Row, they put like the waypoints, there would be those exact arrows that you're talking about. Like
right.
it would be fairly gentle, like it kind of just It's not on the road level. It's slightly higher than the road, so you can kind of see it off in the distance.
Right.
But what the other thing you were saying is that's like a part of all, like most racing games now, some sort of sense of the racing line.
Sure.
And it gets so extreme. I think it's Forza that actually shows you not only the line, but generally what speed you should be taking at that line. Like,
yeah.
like you'll see something on the road and it'll be like, you know, a blue dashed line. It's like, oh, I need to slow down in order to take this turn.
And oh, because the blue dash signifies like slower.
Yeah, movement. Exactly. Like you're going too fast to
might
take
as well
this
be
turn.
Driving a fucking roller coaster at that point.
Well, I mean, I think it's I have heard people say that it is a training mechanism.
That makes sense.
Like you go through the track a few times and understand the capabilities of your car versus the
right.
topography
so
of
it's
the
like
track.
Training wheels.
Yeah, exactly. And then at a certain point you can turn it off. But I mean, it takes it out of the almost, well, the other thing is in our lifetimes, the idea of a mini map has gone from a video game thing to a real life thing.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting aspect of Martin's piece as well.
Yeah.
Like we use mini maps all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's something that we rely upon regularly.
Yeah.
I feel like now more than ever, a built-in in-game mini map isn't alien
yeah.
at all. Like, or you know, maybe even the way that some games are using second screen experiences to give you a mini map on your iPad or your iPhone or
yeah.
something, cleaning the screen but giving you something at hand to use.
Yeah.
All of those things are so natural now. Like
mm-hmm.
we use mini maps, and our mini maps have icons on the screen denoting where there's a restaurant,
yep.
or oh, you know, you can even have download apps that will tell you where your friends are at in relation to you.
The latest iOS update allows you to turn on kind of a passive Find My Device.
Yeah.
And then you can see where your devices are all the time, and they pitch it as like your family plan. You can always tell where your family is, and so
you
like
hunt them down. Oh,
like,
they're all at the strip club right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's like they're all on a mini map, and
yeah.
so you'll
they're
see just people kind of
you.
Moving around, and it's
yeah.
like
yeah, they're all in your house right now, rummaging through your things.
Oh, they're right behind you. Oh god. But I mean, like that stuff to me is it's so fascinating to see that stuff creep out of the video game world and like into the day-to-day world.
Yeah,
because it's something that I'm so used to
God,
playing
so
in a video
bizarre.
Game.
Does it tell you their elevation though?
I don't know. I mean, like definitely Google. You could like
see if they're in a building.
They, yeah, you could certainly see if they're in a building in Google Maps. I know in the latest iOS update, you can drop a pin like on a map.
Mm-hmm.
So like you can text someone and say, "I'm roughly here." And it'll drop a pin, and you can click on the link, and it'll show on the map.
Yeah, it's
where
how
you
I get my
that.
Uber
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah, and so you're just texting that to someone. It doesn't even need, like, you can. You
I can send you, like, GPS coordinates.
Yeah, you can be like, oh, I'm right here. It's like, oh,
buried
cool.
treasure.
Yeah, like, it's like, wait, how is George in the middle of the ocean right now?
I'm going to start texting you, like, my location at different points. Totally inaccurately. I'm in your house.
I mean, it's the what happens in, like, weird action sci-fi movies all the time where, like, they attach the tracker to, like, another ship or a dog or something
mm-hmm.
to like throw off the people that are trying to track them. Like you could easily do that with your
well,
phone.
Again, that's where I think that we should go with minimaps. If you're gonna have a minimap in your game, then tweak it in some way.
Yeah.
Don't just use it as
roll
a tool
it into
for
the mechanic.
Yeah, roll
yeah.
it up,
yeah.
right? I mean, Advanced Warfare is coming out
mm-hmm.
in like 2 days,
yeah.
right? On Tuesday.
Yeah.
I could see them having all sorts of cool jamming devices
mm-hmm.
or, you know, things that lie about the you know, someone's presence.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff would be really neat.
Yeah. I was thinking about like other open world games that I think like I mean I think GTA is a perfect example. Like I at a certain point in GTA I just kind of am staring at the lower right hand corner of the screen. And I think the one that was even more egregious, and I had to like force myself to not do it, was Red Dead. Because Red Dead is like, there's so many more like open prairies and stuff.
Yeah.
And so you just put a waypoint on the map and just cut across the landscape.
Yeah.
Like you don't stick to the paths. Like, why bother? You know, yeah. You're just,
but
like,
it does show you where the road is at.
Sure. Yeah. It shows you like the roads and everything. Be like, oh, I can just kind of force my horse to go across this mountain and do it.
That alone is an interesting like narrative tool, right? Yeah. In the time period where like cutting across and demarcating the landscape was part of the like Western story. So then just say, no, fuck it. You'll just take your horse and go wherever you want.
I'm a pioneer, damn it.
Yeah, I'm a cowboy. Don't tell me what to do.
I don't need any of your maps.
Come on. Like, or in Skyrim as well, right? Like, you could fast travel if you wanted to and you have a minimap, but there's a certain joy of just taking your horse and seeing how you can get there.
Yeah.
I mean, not being told the typography and not being told where buildings were was part of the fascination of those games because the map didn't tell the whole story. And there's a certain fantasy that a map creates, or illusion that a map creates, to give you the sense that all of this stuff is known. So even if all you're doing is showing a map that doesn't tell you the full story because you're planting cool little narrative bits or locations or awesome vistas and mountains or missions or whatever, knowing that the map doesn't tell me the full story to some extent makes the map even cooler because I know that it doesn't tell me the full story.
I feel like we're almost coming full circle because, you know, there were like real technical limitations when they were first implementing these things. Like, I'm sure, you know, GoldenEye or The Legend of Zelda, like, it was difficult to like show the actual details of the map in real time. But then there's games like we just played, like The Long Dark.
Yeah.
And not knowing where you were is a novelty because you know where you are. If you have any sort of computer or phone, you know where you are and you know where you're going pretty much anywhere on the face of the planet.
Yeah.
Like, thanks to satellites. Like, it's almost impossible to get lost if you have the technology. And, like, so we have these games where we purposefully lose ourselves, like The Long Dark something.
Yeah.
Like, we're kind of like, video games made it possible to live in this weird surveillance state. And now the surveillance state is real. Video games make it possible to escape that surveillance state and experience a thing.
Well, you know, there's a certain part of your brain that you're allowed to turn off now. Like, you don't need to memorize everything or paths and whatnot.
Yeah.
And surely you'll eventually do that for your own neighborhood anyway. But, you know, you don't need to learn cartography or anything to survive in the modern world.
Yeah.
So to put yourself in a place where suddenly you have to activate that brain again, like playing The Long Dark, you have to remember, okay, I haven't been to that cabin over there, because if I have been, then it's gonna waste all of my calories. There might be a fucking wolf over there.
There most certainly will be a wolf over there.
There's some guy in the cabin waiting to kill me. Like, who knows what's in that cabin? But if I know I've already been there, if I've made the process of mapping out the environment mentally, then I can sort of, you know, face this challenge in a different way. That's pretty cool. That's really rad.
Yeah, I think I'd be interested to see if a game like Skyrim or GTA 5, if you turned off all of the mapping elements, and because I find this in real life, like, I think my sense of direction is like actually hampered by all of this stuff. Like, I'm not as observant, like you were saying, about, okay, what cardinal direction am I? Like, how long have I been going this way or not this way? You know, I mean, I just feel like you can just kind of turn that off, and then it's like, oh, okay, well, how do I get there? It's like, oh, well, my phone always tells me how to get there, so let me, like, think about this.
I feel like I have better sense of navigation now because my phone tells me the cardinal directions, so I can easily look up and be like, oh, the sun's over there. Okay, that way generally is where we need to go.
But at that point, why don't you just put in the address and, like,
well, I mean, I can definitely do that, but one of the things that the phone gives me in terms of reassurance is I know that because I can never truly be lost, I can take whatever route I want. I could just head in a general direction.
Yeah.
I'm not scared anymore of, like, oh, I missed an exit or something. It's not a big worry for me anymore in a way that it worries some people, right? Because who cares? It's so easy to get your way back that in general, if I said, I live that way, just go that way, generally speaking, I wouldn't need to enter it until I feel like I'm close enough to really need to hone in where I'm going.
I guess it's the detail-oriented stuff. Like, if you ask me, you know, get back to CJ's house in Los Santos or whatever, like, I'd be like, I don't know any of these streets or what they or what their names are or like whatever.
But,
like,
but if I told you, like, Scott, go to Wairika. I mean, that's super far north, but you could just head in that general direction and you'll be fine.
Well, I mean, that's what I mean. There's a specificity that is enabled by these things.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if the design is using the minimap as a crutch. Like, I'd be interested to see what a GTA city would look like without a minimap involved at all. Like, do you think it would change the way that they built the city? Or do you think that they would have to, like... Or would they just say... Because, like, half the reason why there are minimaps in video games is that they know you're not going to spend enough time memorizing the terrain. Like, well, you don't live there.
I think it is a crutch necessarily so, right? If you lived in LA now, eventually you would learn the location of places based upon things that you pass every day, right? Yeah. Oh, there's that little Armenian shop, or there's that Chinese restaurant where we got food poisoning that one time, right? Like,
keep going.
Never stop there, never again. There's all sorts of ways that we make little mental maps in our own mind through interaction over and over and over again. Unfortunately, video games, especially ones of that size, lack the unique textures. So building A is used over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Certainly in GTA 5, you are navigating to some extent by certain landmarks. I can see the Hollywood Hills. I know where I'm at. Yeah. I can see the coastline. I generally know where Venice Beach is out of the pier, right? Yeah. But for people who don't, or for worlds or maps where you don't have the ability to recognize things because you see it every day, you're never going to learn it because you cannot learn it. It doesn't provide you the space to learn it. That's where the minimap is essential to some extent, because the environment isn't rich and unique enough to give you the actual experience of building your own map mentally.
Maybe that means we're in the decline. Like, maybe that means... I mean, it's... I'm intrigued to hear about Shadow of Mordor because that game... I mean, that game seems to look pretty cool, and, like, it seems like there could be a lot of variety, but, like...
But, I mean, it's all... I mean, the one thing that you can use to orient yourself is the huge rip in the environment that is torn through most of the planet, but...
Right.
For the most part, it's all darks, browns, and grays, and they're all old collapsed stone buildings, because that's just the way it is. Now, I think if you were navigating, say, a relatively accurate creation of, you know, Italy in Assassin's Creed, you could probably have a pretty good time by turning off the minimap in Assassin's Creed, because there are landmarks.
Yeah.
And it's a smaller city than it is in real life.
Right. Because here's the piazza, here's that one church, and I kind of know where I'm at.
And like, there's so much verticality to those games that you're encouraged to go high, get a view, and then navigate those environments. So I see no problem in turning off a minimap in something like Assassin's Creed.
I feel like... this is where I feel like technology actually plays a bigger and bigger role, because, like, if you want the
real
more...
world technology,
well, or you mean game technology? I mean, like, game technology, because like, if once you have enough, you know, once you have enough power to, like, once you have enough gigabytes to load in all of those textures, like, you can say, oh, that's the thatched roof house. I know I'm going in circles. Whereas, you know, if you're on like an N64 game or something, it's like, well, okay, here's like the 15th brown house. You know, it's like, it's weird. Like, but then again, like at the same time, there's a level of density that that also enables. And so I feel like the Mordor example, that's where the map will always be with a game like that, because, you know, people aren't going to memorize an environment they go to two times in a 40-hour game.
Totally.
And so, like, they'll just kind of need to have that thing unless they really want to be super hardcore about it, like Miasmata or something, where you have to, like, create your own map or something.
Yeah, well, getting lost is partly the point.
Yeah.
You know, I think the lesson here is not that, oh, we should get rid of mini-maps, but it's almost more of, like, a challenge to developers. Like, challenge yourself to see if you could do cool things with it.
Yeah.
And if not, see what happens if you got rid of it, you know? I think if you were to build a game presuming that you don't have a mini-map, you're going to build a better, more interesting environment than you would have presuming you will have a mini-map.
Yeah, and if it's like a combat oriented thing, like, I would be fascinated to see, like, MGS5 comes out and there is a map, but it's just there to fuck with you. You know, it's like the enemies are like, it's like Kojima style, like, okay, this is totally fourth wall-esque, like, all of a sudden a TV commercial comes on inside of it, like, you know, just like weird things, you know, like preventing you from relying on it.
I like that idea a lot. That could be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, are there any games that off the top of your head that were really great because of a minimap they used or a minimap they did not use?
I mean, I do think that we're re-entering that phase of, like, wanting to explore. And so I was really impressed with both Miasmata and The Long Dark. Miasmata because there was no mini map, but you could start charting out your progress.
Yeah.
And the Long Dark, because there was nothing there. Because I don't think I'm a strong enough a person to turn off a mini map.
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
Oh, interesting.
You know, like, I don't. I feel like maybe I should play a few minutes of the next Assassin's Creed and see how far I get without the map.
Yeah,
like,
just try it, see what happens.
Or, like, I just played Ethan Carter, and, like, there was no map in there. I mean, it's a relatively linear path, but the world is large enough that you could just kind of wander around the woods for a while and not see anything. Like, that stuff, because I don't know if I'm disciplined enough to actually turn it off myself, and it, so it kind of forces me to really pay attention to the world.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah,
I like Shadow of the Colossus is an interesting solution, because there's not really a HUD in that game at all.
Yeah.
But you can raise your sword, and what's interesting is your sword actually will tell you the relative. It's not a beeline; it will tell you the path you need to get there.
Yeah,
and it will also tell you verticality.
Yeah,
which I thought was kind of interesting.
That is cool, because it's like, okay, I'm in that general direction. There could very well, it's like you look in that direction, well, there's a mountain in between this and where it's pointing me, so it's going to be a weird path.
Exactly right, yeah.
Yeah.
And the other one that comes to mind is The Path from Tale of Tales.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's an environment where they specifically want you to get lost, but at some point as you're going around, if you really want to collect things or experience, you almost have to intentionally get lost in order to find some segment that will give you direction. Mm-hmm. Like, if you come back to The Path, it's almost like, oh, I could use this to guide myself, but I don't want to be here. I want to be out in the woods in the middle of nowhere trying to find my way.
Yeah. Cool. We'll leave it up to everyone else from here on out. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And you can find us on your minimap. ExperiencePoints.net is our website.
It would be terrifying. We can't turn that on, because then people will know about our mountain bunker.
That's true. Very true. iTunes and Stitcher will also let you listen to all of our past episodes, 300 plus, so as we've discussed. Yep. So come on down, leave us reviews. It helps us find more listeners.
Yep. All right. Until next time, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll be talking to you next week.
Safe travels. Every time we